position.
Y'all heard me say before that probably the one of the most difficult things that I've ever done in life. I mean, it is the roughest. It is the toughest. Who know what I'm going to say? What? Preaching. Never in all my life have I ever encountered something so tough. And of course, you know, that people would say with that old saying, if I had a chance to do it all over again, you know what I mean? And of course, I've always spoiled people's party and told them, if you had a chance to do it all over again, you'll do the same thing. And they go, oh, no, I wouldn't. I said, yeah, you would, because you would. You don't have no knowledge. You wouldn't have had any knowledge with you. I said, where you get that from? Now, you got to understand, brother. You know, people hate that.
That's the truth.
You know, we expect everybody to just go on with our little utopia of serenity of me. Can I sum it up any better? And my personal preference is not to ever say nothing to God's people. That's my personal preference. Because I can't see anybody I've learned this. People who want to do this, they ain't got no sense.
Amen.
They're out of their mind.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. And I told you my story. I told you when the Heavenly Father called me and I went and told the bishop, I told him one time, and I didn't bug it. I didn't say another word about it. I was just as happy and content. Ben, they made me a deacon pretty quick. I even challenged that. Because I said, I can't be a deacon. And this is how much word I had in me.
Yeah.
And I was only born again about 2.5-3 months.
Amen.
I said, I can't be a deacon. He says, well, why is that? I said, because my house ain't in order.
That's right.
See, my wife ain't saved. Mm-hmm. She ain't thinking about God. So I can't be no deacon. Yeah, look at him. Look at him looking at me.
That's the word. Amen. Straight up. Amen.
Now, that's at 3 months.
Wow.
That was my reply, 3 months. And he just said, well, you just go back and pray on it. And there really wasn't no too much praying on it to really do. I already knew what the word said. And but I saw more than anything that there was a need in the church of strong leadership. And I didn't have a desire to be the one up leading.
Amen.
I just wanted to help the one that was leading.
Amen.
Which, I don't know, did I do a good job, Sister Carol?
Yes, sir.
Every man of God I ever been under, they've never had an evil report about me. Pick one.
No.
Never once, not when it comes to servitude.
No.
Not when it comes to service. Boy, I'll tell you. Not a one.
Amen.
I can give you the list of names. I can even give you their phone numbers. I'll come up with them. You can call them for yourself.
Amen.
They never had trouble and problems with me. Easy to be entreated. Easy to be corrected. But, you know, a lot of you don't know because you wasn't around again. But I understood authority from the beginning. Yeah, I did. Sure did. And I'm telling you, I had a little bit of knowledge in my head for, you know, being a little 3-month-old Christian. Mm-hmm. Then a couple of months later, Sister Carol, she comes along. And I never once mentioned to that man again that, man, I want to preach. Uh-uh. Did I, Sister Carol?
Yes.
Mm-mm. He would say, well, you know, Deacon Dow, you need to come and, you know, the deacons, y'all be meeting and stuff, and y'all just pick up a date. And he said, of course, you know, we short now. If you don't mind, can you pick up a date and come cut grass over there across some land? I said, sure. So I had I think it was Tuesday. No, it wasn't Tuesday. I had Sunday. I was cutting grass Sunday. And then I turned around and I cut grass, I think it was Wednesday. Because we had service on Tuesdays and Sabbaths. Tuesday night, Friday night, which is Sabbath night, and then Sabbath morning. And that's all we did. We went to church. And then every, you know, life was centered around the church. And I told you some of this things that the people experience out there about them worrying about the world coming against them. Are y'all listening? Can y'all hear? And then they're kind of like ashamed of being a Christian. The same stuff. Man, I never experienced that. I was bold right out the gate. God saved me. He saved me to the uttermost. And I made people feel ashamed that they wasn't a Christian.
That's right. Amen.
You know, an army's a pretty tough place for something like that.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, when I came around, I shut folk mouths. I didn't feel like, you scared to say something? No. Now, I did my share of what they, I guess they would call it a preacher. I call it witnessing. Because I told people about Jesus whether they liked it or not. No difference to me. And I got called on the carpet one day and told me that, well, you can't be talking about religion. And, of course, me and the first sergeant about had it out, and he stood up. And, of course, we about got into it then because I was quick. Told me I couldn't talk, and I said, isn't that something? I said, the rest of these sergeants and everybody else can talk about all the rest of this perversion and sin and hell they've done all weekend long. Talk about their fornications and their adulteries and drunkenness, and but then I can't talk about God. I said, what, you out of your mind?
Amen.
At ease, sergeant. I said, I'm not going at ease. No, on something like that, I ain't. Has no, you telling me about something that has to do with a conviction. And trying to make me shut up that has nothing to do with army doctrine. You want to jump rank and try to want to go over into this one. I said, oh, I'm not going to have these. So you go get somebody. You're going to go get somebody on this one. Because I knew he wasn't about to try. He may have jumped up. I knew he wasn't about to come around that desk and lay no hands on me. I would have tore that place up. Along with him, too. No, he wouldn't have done it. I don't care what kind of spirit people get jumped on them. I'm telling you, folks, it's just something else. But that's like, you see, that's what I'm talking about, brother. I'm going to talk a little bit about, hopefully, about something about this today. But there's just not too many quality believers today. Man, I'm telling you, when I followed the man of God, man, I didn't question him. If I heard people trying to talk about him or something like that, man, I used to blast them. And that's the reason why I didn't have too many deacons as friends either, did I? I had no friends like that. And then he would get up, and he would just say good stuff about me. Just out of the blue, just start saying good stuff about me. And tell folks now, I'm telling you, that hardly a month would go by that he would say, let me tell y'all folks something. You folks better watch Deacon Dow. Because I'm telling you that this man is going to be used by God. And I'm sitting up there. You know what I mean? I'm just sitting there. I was happy, just singing in the choir. Go preach. Lock up the door, open up the door. Sometime get home 1 o'clock in the morning. Cause I had to wait till the last person leave. Lock up the door and then be there first thing in the morning, open them up. Go there and pray about an hour before church. And, of course, when I prayed, I anointed the outside of church, the inside of church, the windows and pews. And I walked around in all different places to see if I could find something that just didn't feel right. I didn't have nobody teach me this, you know what I mean? Now, watch this. That whole time, I didn't teach one Sabbath school. Uh-oh. Y'all folks listen to me? I'm talking about 2-something years. I didn't teach one lesson or preach one sermon. Uh I saw, look at him. I saw people who, you know, you can see those who push, who want push to get up and preach. And I saw the bishop put people up like that. Sure did. And I knew exactly what he's doing after about the fourth or fifth time. Because everyone that did that, they end up sweet. Now, the Heavenly Father gave me the ability to understand. See, when you hear, you're supposed to understand. That's how I know you understand, because you're here. So whereas everybody may have been caught up in whatever they were doing, I was too busy learning. I was too busy paying attention.
Amen.
You know what I mean? It's kind of, to me, it's a forest. To say that I sit there in service and then my mind went wandering off somewhere else. To me, it's a farce to say I sit there in service and then somebody got them preach and I sit there and manifest some of the spirits and faces that you got, because I never did that.
Amen.
And boy, and they preach some hard stuff.
Yes, sir.
I just ain't ever used it. I just thought, man, when you transform, you transform.
Yes, sir.
And then I'm just a little babe. I'm eating Gerber. Food. So if somebody was a deacon or something like that, and they had ministers and deacons there was 10 years, no, about 4 or 5 years younger than me. Make me no difference. If I had a question about something, I would say, "Brother, can you help me out right here?" Sure. And I said, "Well, here." I didn't go running my mouth talking to something, because I came. I asked a question.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And then when I asked a question, I'd sit down and I'd listen. And I'd listen, and I'd keep on listening.
Sir.
Now, I'm just telling you, that's the way I was.
Amen.
The bishop, anybody they knew, they could call me at any time for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when God saved Sister Carol, she started helping right off the bat. Right off the bat. And one of the first challenges we had was is that... somebody needed $200. Then they care. And we didn't have it. And it was a minister. He said he prayed and said that God said, well, he said, go to Deacon Dow. Of course, I said, okay. So I said, hey, Carol, I need $200. Of course, guess who ran, who took care of the money so then? Carol was, So we went over and we gave it to him. And she gave it to it cheerfully. You know, you still feel the impact of that. Oh, boy, because, you know, she can project out and see.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the only thing I'm saying, give me $200.
Yes, sir.
And she gave it to him. We gave it to him. I told her. And you know, one of the first things I told him was, I said, don't tell nobody, please. See why I said it then? Because I didn't want nobody to know that I'm doing something. And then I didn't want nobody to get up in front. Well, you know, that Deacon Dow did a good job. I didn't want to hear all that. Because I had already read in the scriptures. And so that's why at times I talk to you about, I can't tell you too much, because if I do, I ain't going to have no treasures up in glory. Now, they may not be important to you, but it's been important to me from the beginning. And so I know you find it hard to believe when I tell you that I just was not a rebellious babe in Christ, neither intermediate. I just didn't deal with stuff like that. Uh-oh.
Bless you.
Just wasn't. Thank God for it, too. I sure didn't want that. Can you imagine me carrying that spirit over into preaching?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I remember when I used to testify when they had testimony service stuff. I used to testify about being a demon slayer. Folks sit and look at me. I said, boy, I sure do hate the devil. Well, I love my Jesus. I ain't talk about being a demon slayer. And me and Minister Darden, We would go out and go preaching. We'd be having a car wash. They'd be having, you know, they had church functions and car washes. We used to sell chicken dinners and all kind of stuff like that. They doing it for, I was out there just car washing the pole, and I'd be praising Jesus. Me and Elder Darden go preaching to folk. And that, you understand, see, that's the, I don't know, that's just the way it was with me when God saved me. And then after I got out, I didn't stop. I just kept on preaching. I just started preaching to them.
Yes, sir.
And the whole family was involved. Nothing but just the four of us.
Amen.
And I'd preach, boy, and I'd wonder about the apartment complex. Wonder if they was thinking I was chastising or abusing my family verbally or something like that, because the walls were thin. We knew the wall was thin because the electric bill reflected it. That was one high electric bill every month. I told Carol, man, we got to get out of here. She didn't like the places I picked. I guess I picked the shack places and she picked the good places. Would you say that's about right? She didn't like roaches. And I said, well, I don't like them either. When I got there, when I saw the place, roaches wasn't there. You know what I mean? Ain't until after you move in a place a roach has come. So either you bought them with you.
Amen.
Or either you was looking at it the wrong time.
Amen.
Usually roaches come out at night, don't they?
Yes, sir.
And no wonder they show all the apartments and stuff in the daytime. With the windows shades open and bright light coming in. That would be a good deduction, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I show the fancy, you know what I mean? You don't want to show it at night. Go in there and cut on the light and and roaches, roach motels set up everywhere. And I preached. I mean, I preached, and we live in this. I tell you, I used to go preach to little boys. I'd be driving along and watch somebody out playing basketball, little boy or something, and I'd stop on the side of the road and sit there and watch them in. And next thing you know, I was preaching, basketball game had stopped. And I was telling them about Jesus. Because I've seen many, many people. I've seen all the faces. There can only be so many you can make. And I've sat there and I watched people and saw people just as simple. You're sincere. And I learned something too. That's why I would. That's how I was able to minister to the brethren early on, younger.
Come on.
I would tell them, man, don't concern yourself about the people that frown, don't want to hear you, and kick. You pay attention to the ones that's on the hook. They may be wiggling a little bit, but they still on the hook. You pay attention to them because them are the ones that God is giving ears to hear. Don't worry about them other folks. That's what it's all about. You say the word, and then who God gives understanding, they open up their ear. Them ones, you don't pay attention to them goats. Leave them folks alone.
Amen.
You leave them alone. Y'all understand that? And so over the years, I guess you can say I've been to the accelerator course. Because I thought I was knowing something. Because you remember, before I even knew of a man by the name of Brother Stair, I was already eating clean.
Yep.
Sister Carol was dressing holy. I was keeping the Sabbath day.
Amen.
Yeah, I was. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I was. Looking, seeing demons cast out of people, and even had a chance to do a few myself.
Yes, sir.
I was baptizing folks,
yes, sir,
in public swimming pools.
Amen.
I never forget when I baptized Elena in that swimming pool, Carol. I went out there and she had on a long dress she had found. And I went out there and took some bottle oil about something like that and poured it in the water, raised up my hands, and all of a sudden everybody started getting out the pool. Started praying, and then all the women had bathing suits on, they all had towels wrapped around like this. pool got steady, boy. I mean, and if you've ever been to one of those army swimming pools, it's live. Because they got an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Man, people, they jumping everywhere. Swimming everywhere. You ain't hardly got enough room to move around. That pool was evacuated. They stopped. And I said, Elaine, do you receive our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ? She said, yes, sir. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I said, I now baptize you. I said it real loud. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. Nobody even knew I was baptized. I just had looked in there and saw the deacons baptized. So I came to church and said, hey, I baptized somebody today. And I thought I was going to get a warm reception. I got to look like this. I said, whoa. That's just been in my vocabulary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I picked up from the beginning. That's just, soon as God saved me, automatic when I started answering the phone, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Instead of hell, low. Just automatic, I started saying, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I just didn't even know I was doing it. You know, just... Amen. Things started to change. Praise the Lord. Instead of hell, low.
Amen. Amen.
I said, I don't like that.
Amen.
So I got these looks. I said, man, I wonder if I've done something. What'd I do? In the world did I do?
Amen.
Problem was, I went and told the wrong person.
Oh, boy.
I told Mother Mulberry. That's why I learned about Jezebel women. Now, you got to understand, Mother Mulberry, she was a real mother of the church, too. Because I would often go and speak to her, and she taught me a lot of things.
Yes, yeah.
A whole lot of things. She surely did. I mean, she would take time. She was running a shopette up there and one of the busiest ones, the main ones on post. And sometimes she'd sit there for an hour and just shut the door and talk to me while she was on her job. Said, Mother, I got a question. And then she would get up and testify. She said, boy, I remember my little son. He would ask, why is the sky blue? Why is the sun shining? He wanted to know everything. Look at him now. Of course, now they don't say that too much because I'm grown up now. And all I did was just told them about some things that they didn't understand. And whom remember Elder Darden talking about that later. He said, you know, you was telling the truth and we didn't even understand what you were saying. It wasn't until later that I understood what you were saying.
Yes, sir.
He said, but isn't that amazing how that works? Until then, you the enemy until I understand. Isn't that something? Somebody who I knew.
Amen.
Somebody who we chew the same dirt together, carry the same Bible, go witness to people, pray for them in their house, get filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I said, man, isn't that something?
Growth in darkness. Amen.
And boy, I dropped my head that day and I cried right there in front of everybody because I told him I wanted to have this meeting, but I didn't want no women present.
Yes, sir.
Because women are emotional beings.
Yes.
And they demanded that the women be present. Oh, boy. And boy, as soon as them women emotions start kicking up, you forget about anybody hearing anything.
Amen.
And they thought I was coming against the bishop, and I couldn't see where I was doing. You were there, wasn't you?
Yes, sir.
You were there. I wasn't coming against him. Why in the world I want to come against someone who was my mentor and my teacher? I know what the Bible said about elders. So whether I had my mind's already made up. It didn't make no difference to me how others react and respond. I was just going to obey what God's word said.
Yes, sir.
That's why I respect my elders.
Amen. Amen.
Need nobody to teach me that. Simple enough. Read, obey, period. Now to some folk, that's complex. That's pretty difficult. So anyway, told her, and she said, well, son, you know, you might want to bring them to the church and let the bishop baptize them. I said, but she wanted to be baptized right then and there.
Amen.
Share the word. So after we finished our conversation, I was driving back home. I was thinking, and then all of a sudden I was just thinking, you know what I mean? Thinking, I said, oh, man. I said, now I see the reason why she said that. I said, they want to make a show of people.
Right.
And I said, man, I ain't think glorious nothing like that was here. Wow. I said, man, who cares how folk get saved as long as they're saved? About folks, I said, man, that is hindering right there. And so I went back and I talked to a deacon, a little bit high authority, because I believe in the protocol. I didn't believe you go jump straight to the pastor. Talk to the deacon. I perceived that he was thinking that I was being rebellious against the church. So I cut my conversation a little short and diverted it another way. And so I didn't say nothing else about the matter. I just left it at that because it wasn't a matter to me. It was already done anyway.
Yes, sir.
I still showed up every Sabbath morning. Sabbath school. Amen. Still there in church service. You know, folk even got mad at me because I used to do like Dad Dow do and come up and just start doing praise service. Then all of a sudden I had to deal with somebody who had a spirit of competition, so I would forget about that. I said, you can go ahead.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Man, I couldn't sing worth two dead flies.
Amen.
Two dead flies can't sing anyway.
Yes, sir.
Man, I was just up there in the glory of the Lord just singing along. Because after being there a while, I pretty much understood a lot of the songs. And then I knew how to put words in that everybody else could understand and repeat. And we had an anointed choir. Boy, that choir was anointed. Woo, powerful too, boy. So that's what I was doing. And then it got to the point where it was myself and the Elder Dart. And people, I didn't even know it, but there was secretly there was brethren in the church and stuff conspiring against us. Just because of our servitude. Because see, every single week, I can only think of one week, if I can think of that one week I can only think of one week that I didn't bring somebody to church. Or somebody didn't come. That's how much I was out on the labor field. And Elder Darden the same way. And the bishop, he would get excited about that because he was interested in his souls and he wanted the church to get bigger.
Amen.
And the church was big.
Yes.
Yeah. When me and Elder Darden got to preaching, it got big. Now to me, 150 close to 200 is big.
Yes.
Yes.
In that town.
That is big.
Keeping the Sabbath.
Amen.
We met up another guy, Minister Walker. He was a staff sergeant too. And lo and behold, God, last I heard, he was in Miami somewhere preaching, something like that. And God had touched it, did the same thing with him he did with me. Same exact thing. And I could about a year later I could see me in him. And boy, he's anointed too. He's not, boy. And I could sit there. But what I did, I noticed that all the folk who wasn't fully following Christ, them the ones that were mad.
Yep.
Them the ones that were mad. And so I would protect him away from the pigs and dogs.
Yes.
And so me, him, and Elder Darden was hanging around a lot. We play basketball, all three of us be on the same team.
Yes.
And we'd be whooping everybody too. And after that, we start preaching, talking about God again. I mean, we had a few discussions that didn't come so good, but at the end, everybody knew their place.
Yes.
This man was 9 years my elder. Even though, I don't know, Elder was probably about 40-something, early 40s, don't you think? No, now. He that old? I ain't think he's that old. But anyway, but you got to understand, the church is flourishing and grew when we were there. Because we would go preach it. I remember one time I bought a whole platoon to church. Boy, we had a Holy Ghost night that night, and then I sit and watch the Bible get in action too. I sit and watch many people receive. I sit and watch over half of them receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then I sit and watch within a less than a month period of time, every last one of them go back. And I said, boy, this is dangerous. This is dangerous. So I would go up and ask, all right, y'all ready to go to church? And then every week somebody would fall off, and I'd say, all right, well, hey, found me. And I'd go on. And I wouldn't say another word to them about Jesus. Because why come I wouldn't do that? Because I read.
Yes.
You would never trouble me. You ain't never worry about me from it ever again. And I said, boy, I understand what this word say, but it's hard for me to conceive that, though. How in the world can you be filled with God's Holy Spirit? You never had that nature before.
Yes, sir, it's true.
I can understand. You know, I've seen people eat right there in the church mess up, man, sin and all kind of stuff, and then I'd see them come to the altar repent. Or you see them just to totally change what they were doing. That's none of my business. And if somebody try to say, well, you know what they've been doing under, I don't care. And of course, they would get, you know, kind of look at me like, well, you better than everybody. I said, no, I just don't want to hear about it. I said, I know what I see. How'd I come up with that? Because I was reading. I knew how to respond and react. And they would get mad at me because the bishop would say, because Bishop would hardly ever around me. Oh, Elder Don, at all, period. We all ever saw him, except on Sabbaths and Tuesdays. And then he call up and say, hey, Deacon Dow, I need you and Elder Darden or Deacon Thomas to come over here, and I drop whatever I was doing. Phew! Didn't care if I had to drive 20 miles across town. And I'd be there. I had to load up my lawnmower in my own car. Didn't have no trailer, nothing back then. Do all that stuff, man. It was just a joy. Just joy. Man, I'm doing. Why? I am helping in the house of God. Winning souls. Didn't make that my priority. Just wanted to be holy. Show God how thankful I was for saving me. Then you grow on up, and then later on, I started going and say, wait a minute. I said, man, I got things challenging me in my mind. Boy, where did they go? Wow. Then I said, man, I wouldn't have stepped into a new realm of fighting right here. That's when I picked up my term. That's a spirit. That's a spirit. So I had my vocabulary was going. It was growing by leaps and bounds over the years. I picked up two sayings. Wow. And that's a spirit.
Amen.
So, what I'm saying in a nutshell, it's inconceivable to me to see how a lot of people respond. I mean, I saw people just like you respond the same way towards the bishop and the mother. I just couldn't believe it. I just sit there and utterly, I just shake my head and went, man, I said, what in the world is these folks full of the devil? They got to be full of the devil. And so I said, I said, man, God don't act like that. And neither will he allow his people to act like that. Something's wrong. And so I stood up one day in church because my little spot was over. I said, I had a question. He said, go ahead, Deacon. I said, what's wrong with folks? I said, you going to tell me that's God? Look at that sister right there in her face. And then look at that brother in his face. You going to tell me that's God? I said, how long you been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? You shut up. I said, whoa, see?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's a spirit.
Whoa, look at that. Bishop, that's a good question. You can go ahead and sit down, Deacon, now. Because he knew I was getting ready to start a fire.
Amen.
He knew I was getting ready to start a fire.
Amen.
And I had, even though I was saved, I still hadn't got all the fire
Amen.
Out of me, if you know what I mean.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I mean, I still had some purifying of the flesh to do too. Yeah. And so he went in and said, "Sit me down." Devils first, they mad at each other. Now they mad at me. All I wanted was understanding of why they behaving like that. That's all I wanted to know. Why they behaving like that. Now you got to understand, I used to see, man, brothers and sisters who are ministers and what they call church mothers or what, sisters or something like missionaries. I see them come to church, both of them black eyes. I say, what in the world? And they had some throwdowns too, boy. They had some knockdown, drag out throwdowns. And that they used to throw me. Now, at the church, I never once saw a woman raise her voice to her husband. But you can see there's a whole lot going on outside of it, boy. You can see there's a whole lot going on outside of it. And so as I started watching this even more so, it would have me to kind of zero in a little bit more on myself. Because, you know, I read in the Bible, take heed unto yourself. And I said, so I would look at stuff and go, boy. Yes, I would do it. Yes, I would. That's how I would do it, brothers and sisters. So it's inconceivable for me to understand how people can rebel against authority and kick against. I just can't. You understand me? It just don't lodge. It's just like a woman can't. She don't know what it means to be a man. It can't even lodge. You follow me? So it's inconceivable for me to, for people who say that they're born again, who say that they're of God. I don't understand why they act that way. That was my understanding. Now I know what the big deal is. They're full of devils. And I know that they're full of devils because they love them devils, because they have communion with the devils. And I'll show you the difference today a little bit between communication and communion. So that you'll understand a little bit more. Amen. Now, mind you, I told you, I never talked. I only preached there, as far as I can tell, I think maybe twice. Maybe once, twice, something like that. Yeah, when we went there, and they didn't like that one either, did they? Definitely didn't like that one, boy. They didn't like that message either. Remarkable, isn't it? Yes, anybody understand my language? Yes, does anybody understand my language? Now, I'm not saying by a long shot that I'm better than anybody. Yes, what I am saying is that there's a lot of things that I questioned, not only within myself first.
There you go.
Amen. I did that there first. I've always made that a priority. Amen. That's why it's easy for me to preach the way I preach.
Amen.
Because I know everybody else too busy, got the eyes on everybody else.
Yes.
And then after I got finished with myself so I could see clearly, then I'll propose the questions outwardly. That's why even still today, I still can't understand. And I don't want to understand because I don't want to think like that. You know what I mean? All I want to do is know God's way. But I know that somebody's going to have to provide solutions to these rebellious people. Because if not, somebody going to hell.
Yes, sir.
And that's all there is to it.
Amen.
Matter of fact, one of the first messages I preached had to do with hell. Need to say, I didn't get too many amens. I remember when I first preached too, I was nervous. Then after about halfway, boy, all that boldness starts settling in. And that's why I didn't get too many invites to preaching. Because I would talk about sin in church. He used to just trip me out, come to church, jump and scream and shout, and turn around and live like hell all week. Holy Ghost filled too. I didn't say, far as immorality goes, smoking and drinking and cursing and all, they ain't had no problem with that. They ain't no problem with that.
Oh yeah.
Boy, I remember I preached on gluttony too, boy. They'll put that in my message, boy. Oh man, they ain't the way you make friends. Not in a holiness church, boy.
Amen.
Mm-mm. Man, I remember I bear down on that one.
Amen.
I say to me, what I read and understand is it's just like committing adultery.
Yes.
Just like
you're telling.
Just like being like the Catholics over here bowing down to statues.
Amen.
And boy,
amen.
See, so I've been always used to the quiet response. Every amen. Once in a while I get a squeak of an amen. Trouble bothered me none.
Amen.
Not one bit.
Lord.
But I know that there was a time or two that in different places I tried to preach so that the crowd would be happy. But then when I got finished, my soul was dissatisfied.
Amen. Amen.
I was like, what in the world? Because I had to go back and deal with God then. I went back and I said, what happened? I said, why am I feeling like this? Man, I'd walk around and go, what in the world? Did I do something wrong? Man, what in the world? I said, man, the people seem like they enjoyed it. But man, there was something wrong.
Amen.
Boy, was there something wrong.
Amen.
Huh? And then after I kept on preaching and reading and listening and praying, I finally came to my, I ain't doing that no more. So I'm going to deliver my soul.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Because, you know, even at that, you got to fight hard against, because you got the Holy Spirit telling you, there's communication going on up here.
Yes,
say this. And then you're sitting up there seeing somebody, woo! And then you say somebody, woo! And you go, hey, hey, hey! And then you get finished, you feel like the bottom done fell out of you. What in the world happened? I said, I ain't doing that no more. I repent.
Amen.
Then I understood that God wants a holy people.
Right.
Yep, I sure did. So I've learned a lot, even through my own faults and failures.
That's right.
I've learned. Yeah, I have, and I'm still here. And then I saw, I remember I preached a message that the Bible was a loaded gun. Sure it is. Loaded. Didn't really fully understand it, but then I sit and watch how that people that have wrest the scriptures to their own destruction, and the same word that they preached was the same word that caused them to fall away from the faith. So I would take note and take heed and said, Lord, have mercy, this is dangerous. This is dangerous.
Amen.
This is very dangerous.
That's the truth, Lord. Amen.
It's dangerous being a Christian. I'm telling you, it really is.
It's terrible.
And then immediately after that, I read the story that not everybody that starts a race finishes. I said, oh, man. See, it was just opening up, making sense.
Amen.
Of course, now you understand, I wasn't applying it looking at everybody else, because when I read the Bible, it talked to me. And I would say, Lord, I'm going to finish.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying that knowing full well that there's an enemy over here going to do everything he can to hinder me from finishing.
Right. Yes, sir.
Huh? And we're supposed to know the devil's devices, but how many people didn't know the devil's device and they didn't end up finishing?
Right.
And one of the biggest devices the enemy uses is using everybody else's sins, faults, and failures
right.
that you can look at.
Yeah.
And then you become a judge of them while at the same time you ain't living nothing yourself.
Amen. You're telling the truth.
Amen.
Truth, Lord.
Use that pride of life right there to cause
Amen.
Folk to fall away. And I said, boy, this is something else.
Amen.
This is literally something else.
Amen.
As a believer, you only have to fail God a few times before you get the message. Because he'll put the hammer and the whammy and the boom on you.
That's right.
If you ain't got no fear, you're going to learn.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to stay in the faith.
Amen.
He also gives you the chance to not learn too.
Yes.
You won't receive any chastisement.
Amen.
Won't be chasing the Lord's Spirit. You'll be a bastard. And you'll say so long.
Amen.
And I understood that. So if I did something wrong and I got the Holy Spirit convicting me, bearing down on me, and I'm not making an excuse for it, and that means I've got room to repent. That means that God is still dealing with me as a son. But however, if I resist that means I'm a bastard. How did I come up with that? I read and understood. I just read it. It was just simple to me. Boy, throughout the years have I learned that there's a lot of folk going to hell. There's a whole bunch of them. Whole bunch of them. Man, there's a whole bunch of folk going to hell.
Amen.
So I've made sure that I kept my heart in such a manner that no matter what goes on, I keep the fear of God. Amen. And I learned a long time ago to get my eyes off everybody else.
Yes.
I said, because the enemy, he'll use that to deceive you and cause you to fall.
Amen.
That's why it's easy for me to preach the way I do. Because you really can't be too much of an effective preacher unless you've applied everything you've learned to yourself.
That is the truth.
That's why Paul said, lest I preach to others and I myself become a what? See, so I can't tell. Hey, I've sat there and watched people get up and preach. It ain't for them, but it's for you.
Right.
I sat there and watched them. I've watched preachers like that come and go over the years, from the time I was saved all the way up to now. Everything they preach it. They preach it, boy, when, boy, I told them that they, but see, they preaching it, but it don't apply to them.
Amen.
And I said, man, I can't tell you how many times I have hit my knees and said, Father, thank you for understanding.
Amen.
Thank you for understanding. You ain't never saw people get up here and preach and ain't, everything is always towards the people and then you get finished, ain't nothing towards them.
That's right.
Huh? Yes, and they were merciless.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
Amen.
The spiritual mercenaries.
Amen.
And then they end up for long, guess what? And fell away.
Right.
And I told you, because they haven't learned the first principle. That when you read this book, God ain't talking about everybody. That's why I always jump on. When you read this book, and you get a thought come in your mind that's telling you this is for somebody else or this is somebody else. You, man, I mean, just spiritual sense. At least that way it was for me. Spiritual sense would tell me that that's the devil. Because when I'm reading this book, ain't nobody else around.
Amen. That's just the truth.
Nobody else around. I'm sitting up here reading this, and I remember one day I understood what it means to read and be happy and then sad.
Amen.
You want to do that? Man, what an experience. You start over at the Psalms, and then you flip over to Proverbs. And then you flip back to the Psalms. And then you flip back to the Proverbs, and I go, whoa. Whoa. Wow. And it took a little while. It took about 45 minutes before I caught on what was going on spiritually.
Right. That's
true. And then I started paying more and more attention to myself.
Amen.
And I say, isn't it amazing how when I read this, I can go, yeah, hey, man. When I get to this, all of a sudden, I go quiet. I go,
amen.
See, now what's going on? Amen. That's when I start dealing with the spirit of man.
Yes, sir.
Yep, so did. Mm-hmm. I understood the heart. Yep, so I told you, I've learned. You take one subject at a time. You just spend time on that, and boy, when you get finished, you'll know it.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And see, he wasn't telling me to tell you. He was talking to me.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And see, how many times have we seen that? Where people, they always want to go and purify everybody else, and they still, they ain't washed themselves yet.
Amen.
Amen.
Hmm? That's why I can say again, it's easy for me. I can understand. It's easy for me to. And I pray and say, Father, just let my heart stay this way. What heart is that? I want a heart that when I read this Bible, that I don't resist the truth. I want a heart when I read this scripture, I can say, man, this is true. I don't care what's going on right here and in here.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So I've always, and then it wasn't until later on, everybody else started coming to me asking me questions. They come secretly, they come quietly, they come this, come that. And my first answer to them, my first question to them, you been to the minister? Been to the elder? Well, no, not really. It's just a simple, basic question. I said, okay. And I said, all right. And I start being, because a lot of times, a lot of people don't want to hear this, but a lot of times the enemy is trying to use somebody to get to you.
Right. Yes, sir.
And then, there's always these little conspiracies going on in church where somebody's always trying to get somebody on their side. And these spirits, they don't do it. It's a conspiracy. They do it behind closed
That's
doors.
Right.
You know what I mean? Get people to come over to my side a little bit. But you got to lobby them for a little while.
Right. Amen. Kiss
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Then you got them. Or they got you. And I've sat and watched that. I've sat and watched who people supposed to be leaders in the church. Second and third in command in the church sit up and try to come against the bishop. I sat and shake my head. I said, Father, what in the world are you teaching me in this one? Oh, yeah, man. I've been around. I told you I got the accelerator course. Then I met Brother Starr, of course. Then y'all know the rest of the story from there. And y'all, that's why I say, well, you know my track record. And that's one thing that I've always held to. I've never, ever, ever once believed in disclosing people's sins to the people. Never once. Still ain't going to do it. I will reprove a wicked way and correct a wicked way that is openly sporting itself.
Yes, sir.
But I'd never do that. Never once.
Amen.
Then I found out the power in that. What it does, that helps preserve those. How'd I learn? What I learned it from? Can I say Jesus? Let me show you what happened one day. One day there was a woman caught in the act of adultery. Amen. Before I tell this story, let me pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we do ask your blessings upon the words, our hearts, our souls, our minds today. As we hear your truth in Jesus' name, you're welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place. Have your way. Amen. And if we go the way the world goes, everybody was stoner, including the ones that commit adultery.
Yep. Amen.
Including the people who do it in mind.
Amen.
People who do it in heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, because see, it's where nobody can see it.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Uh-oh. And usually the only ones that have compassion on something like that is the ones who've committed adultery. But if they haven't never done it, then the harshest judges that there are.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Give him the death penalty.
Yeah. Amen.
Bring out the guillotine.
Amen.
Chop off a head. Jesus dealt with that same kind of spirit with the scribes and Pharisees, did he not? Now, mind you, scribes and Pharisees was the ones that Jesus came to. His own. You saw the judgment of his own? They were harsh, boy. They caught her in the act of adultery. Now, you know what? To catch somebody in the act of adultery, you got to be king.
Amen.
This had to be a setup because usually something is done in darkness like that, man. You got to be spiritually. You ain't gonna come with accusation spirits or something. Well, I believe, I perceive. If you're gonna catch them, boy, you got to be hearing from God. Or you done blackmailed somebody and set it up. Because you don't catch people committing adultery. Man, I've been around a little while, brother, sister. I've been living a little while. Huh? So this had to be, either them scribes and Pharisees was more spiritual than Jesus, or either they done blackmail somebody and set this thing up. I always wondered every time I read that story, what was the man? I'm not questioning God's word, but I just asked myself the question, what was the man? If the woman going to get stoned, surely the man need to be stoned too. And that's when I started noticing that we've got certain passages not in there. But we got the scriptures there to make a point.
Yes, right.
And the point is this. Is that these people wanted this woman dead.
That's right. Amen.
But before they wanted the woman dead, it really had nothing to do with the woman at all.
Amen.
These people wanted to discredit Jesus.
Amen.
They didn't care who it was that was caught in adultery, but they wanted to diminish his influence. You've read the story before.
Yes, sir.
How they set it up.
Yes,
didn't they set it up, didn't they?
Oh, yes, sir.
Huh? They set it up and
Amen. And
so they thought they had him.
Yeah.
True.
Yes, sir.
The law says.
You know,
he talking about the same one when he was 12 years old. He was found in the temple.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Talking with the ones who called themselves teachers of the law.
Amen.
Say, man, where you get this boy from? Huh?
Amen.
That's the boy who made you.
Yes, sir.
You don't know.
Because
it ain't been revealed to you. See, it's easy for us to see that because we're on the other side.
Yes.
But you ever try to picture yourself to see how you would respond if you were back there in that time and day?
Mom.
Whose side you would have been on?
Amen.
I'll tell you how you would. Just see how you respond today.
Right.
You'd do the same thing back then.
Right.
See, everybody, we just assume that we're already righteous because we're on the other side. And we can see clearly. But see, when you look at your spirit and you've ever been or ever had a chance to deal with something like that, you knew where your spirit was.
Yes,
it told you who you was.
Yes,
and many of us, well, we deceived ourselves. We found out we were scribes and Pharisees ourselves.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. Uh-oh. See, that's the thing we don't like. That's why I call being honest with yourself. That's what I call seeing like Jesus sees. Uh-oh. So they thought that they had him. So Jesus stoops down, starts writing on the ground. Everybody got speculation what he wrote and stuff, but regardless of what he was writing, he still dealt with adultery. But you know what he's saying? He said, he that